Good morning. Welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance's conference call to present the main results of the report on public finances and public debt for the third quarter of 2007. With us today are Gerardo Rodriguez, head of the Public Debt Unit, and Miguel Messmacher, head of the Economic Planning Unit. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Messmacher, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. First of all, welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance's conference call on the Public Finances and Public Debt Report for the third quarter of 2007. I will first go over the recent macro developments and the results of public finances, and then Gerardo Rodriguez will give a brief overview of the evolution of public debt during the year. Going over the macro developments, what we've seen is that during the third quarter of 2007, the rate of growth of the Mexican economy accelerated in a significant way. It is estimated that during the third quarter of 2007, the Mexican economy will grow at an annual rate of close to 4%, which implies a quarterly growth rate of approximately 1.5% in seasonally adjusted terms. These estimations are based on the following results. During the bimonthly period, July-August of 2007, the Global Economy Activity Index, the IGAI, grew 4.6% in real annual terms. Within it, the primary sector increased at an annual rate of 8.4%, the real value of industrial production increased at an annual rate of 2.4%, the supply of services grew 5.3% in real annual terms. Moving over to the indicators of domestic aggregate demand, they also maintained a very favorable evolution during the third quarter of the year. During this quarter, household consumption continued growing at high rates. The real sales value of the main retail and departmental stores grew at an annual rate of 9.3% during the third quarter. In July 2007, fixed capital investment grew 7.8% in real annual terms. And during the third quarter of 2007, the nominal U.S. dollar value of total exports grew at an annual rate of 11.1%. Imports, on the other hand, increased at an annual rate of 10.7%. Moving on to the financial sector, bank and non-bank credit to households and firms posted an increase of 28% in real annual terms as of August 2007. Within housing consumption and credit to firms and individuals with entrepreneurial activities grew 25, 26, and 33% in real annual terms, respectively. Job creation continued growing at high rates. As of September 2007, we observed a quarterly increase of 283,000 formal jobs, which gives us an expansion during the year of 753,936 formal jobs. In annual terms, that is with respect to September of 2006, the number of employees affiliated to the IMSS grew by 797,000 people, a 5.7% increase in annual terms. Finally, Fitch Ratings and Standard & Poor's increased the rating on Mexico's sovereign debt, both in domestic and foreign currency. Moving on to the part on public finances, during the third quarter of 2007, the public balance recorded a surplus of 138 billion pesos, an amount 6.6 billion pesos lower than that observed in the same period of 2006. The accumulated primary surplus as of September was 318.7 billion pesos, 21.3 billion pesos lower than the one registered in the same period of 2006. Moving on to revenues, the public sector's budgetary revenues were 1,777 billion pesos, 2.4% higher in real terms than the ones registered in the January-September period of 2006. Within, it is worth noting that non-oil tax revenues grew by 5.9% in real annual terms compared with the same period of 2006. Worth noting are real annual growth rates of 8.7, 6.1, 8.7, and 3.7% in the income tax, vehicle property tax collection, the special production and services tax, and finally the VAT. Oil revenues posted a 4.6% decrease in real terms as a result of both lower oil production and exports, as well as a decrease in the domestic prices of natural gas, fuel oil, and other petrochemicals. Revenues from public entities under budgetary control other than PEMEX showed a similar real level with respect to the same period of the previous year. Moving on to expenditures, during the January-September period of 2007, the net budgetary expenditures of the public sector totaled 1,640 billion pesos, 2.7% higher in real terms compared with the amount observed in the same period of 2006. Programmable expenditures grew by 6.8% in real terms. On the other hand, the public sector's financing costs decreased 9.8% in real terms compared to the same period of last year. Within public expenditures up to September 2007, the following items stand out. Programmable expenditures channeled to social development posted a real increase of 4.1% with respect to 2006. Worth noting are the real increases of expenditures on social security and education, with increases of 9.4% and 3.9% respectively. Capital expenditure increased 15% in real annual terms. In particular, budgetary physical investment increased at a real annual rate of 2.5%. Expenditures on personal services during the period January-September of 2007 increased 2.3%, due mainly to increases in expenditures related to sovereignty, education, and energy. In contrast, expenditures on administrative and government functional activities decreased 7.2% in real annual terms. Finally, pension expenditures registered a real increase of 11.1%. All of the above results are consistent with what was programmed by Congress of a balanced budget by the end of 2007. With that, let me finish and pass on to Gerardo Rodriguez.
Thank you, Miguel. In terms of public debt, at the end of the third quarter of this year, the federal government's net debt as a percentage of GDP was 21.1%, of which 16.5 percentage points correspond to domestic debt and the rest to external debt. That represents 78% of total debt is domestic debt and 22% is external debt. In terms of the domestic debt composition, the participation of fixed-rate peso-denominated bonds in total government securities rose from roughly 50% at the end of last year to 55% at the end of the third quarter of 2007. Also, the average maturity of government domestic securities increased by almost 1 year, from 4.27 years at the end of last year to 5.25 years during the same period of this year. The outstanding amount of federal government's net external debt was $41 billion at the end of the third quarter of this year, which is $1.1 billion higher than the level registered at the end of 2006. In terms of the operations that the government executed in the international capital markets, we can report that during the third quarter of 2007, the government issued debt in the international capital markets through the reopening of the fixed interest rate global bonds, both in the 10 and 30-year tenors. This transaction improved the terms and conditions of external debt and broadened the diversified investor base for global bonds. Also, an improvement on internal to external debt ratio was registered in September due to the exercise of debt exchange warrants. As you know, there were three different series of debt exchange warrants outstanding. Two of them have been exercised already, and we have one additional series coming due early in this month. Finally, at the end of the third quarter of 2007, the historical balance of public sector borrowing requirements, which is the broadest indicator of public debt, it stood at 35.1 percentage points of GDP, which is 0.8 percentage points of GDP lower than the level registered at the end of 2006. With that, we conclude the introductory remarks of the conference call, and we can now proceed to the question and answer section. Thank you. Operator, we can now proceed to the question and answer section. Thank you.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. There are no questions at this time. I'm sorry, you have one question from the line of Gray Newman.
Good morning, and thank you very much, Miguel and Gerardo. Sort of a two-part question. Miguel, you painted what was a pretty positive picture in terms of activity in Mexico in the third quarter, and I was just wanted to maybe hear a bit more of your thoughts in terms of how you're looking at the fourth quarter and the very first quarter of 2008 in light of the concerns in the U.S. economy. Where do you think we're going to see some of that feeding through into Mexico first? And the second, if you could just comment a bit, we've seen some statements in recent days concerning some, I think the word is sort of softening of the effect of the YETU on maquiladoras and some other companies in order to determine how inventories are accounted for. And I was just wondering if you could comment a bit more on how you see that affecting what have been maybe your initial estimates for the revenue improvement in 2008. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Luis Arcentales.
Sorry, but we do it one question and then one answer.
Yes, sir.
So I'll answer and then we'll have the next question.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Great, good morning. As you mentioned, things are looking relatively well in terms of the evolution, or well, pretty well, let's say, in terms of the evolution of economic activity in the third quarter. Let's say we're being perhaps a little bit conservative in terms of our projections for the fourth quarter and the beginning of 2008, given the existing uncertainty regarding the evolution of the U.S. economy, which is why we have not yet changed our estimation of annual growth for 2007. Now, as of right now, let's say the last, given the last observations and data that we have seen for the U.S., I think it is clear that very serious problems remain in the housing sector in the U.S., but somehow, surprisingly, they have not translated yet into major problems in the consumption sector, which would have to happen probably for this to have some effect on industrial production, which has relatively lean inventories as of now. So our perception is that we have not yet seen that happen, but obviously we're being cautious and we recognize that this is an important source of risk for growth going forward. Now, what Minister Carstens and Alejandro Werner have also pointed out is that, let's say, the current situation in Mexico is more favorable to withstand an important deceleration in the U.S. due to several reasons. A first one has to do with the nature of the recession in the U.S. itself, in the sense that, in contrast with previous decelerations of growth in the U.S., this one seems to be driven by construction, not by industrial production, and the level of inventories that are there currently in the U.S. suggests that if there are some effects on industrial production, unless we have a very extreme scenario, the effects on industrial production would be relatively limited. At the same time, the depreciation of the dollar with respect to other currencies is leading to very high rates of growth in terms of U.S. exports of manufactured products, and given the link with the Mexican economy, that would probably be an important factor sustaining exports of industrial products to the U.S., which could eventually be exported to other regions. Now, in terms of the particulars of the Mexican economy, which make us think that the effects on economic activity would be also more limited, is the fact that if you look at the evolution of unit labor costs in Mexico compared with unit labor costs in the U.S., they have actually moved in opposite directions during the last 3 years. While unit labor costs in the U.S. have increased in a significant way, in Mexico we have seen an important reduction, which probably accounts for why Mexican exports seem to be becoming more competitive and we're sort of regaining some market share in the U.S. On the second point is that probably also related partly with the depreciation of the dollar with respect to third currencies and the tight link that exists between the Mexican peso and the dollar, is that Mexican exports to third countries, to Europe and to Latin America, have been growing at very high rates during the last 3 years. In particular, the last numbers that we're observing for growth rates of Mexican exports to Europe and other countries in Latin America is in the order of 30%. And with a share, which implies that the share of Mexican exports going to countries other than the U.S. has increased from a level of close to 15% more like to 20% in the last 3 years. So in a sense, these are good news with some diversification of Mexican exports. And then finally are the issues about the strength in the domestic economy. We have seen very dynamic domestic demand, high rates of employment growth, some recovery in real wages. And something that is probably very important going forward is the fact that compared with the last deceleration, important deceleration in the U.S., which took place in 2000 to 2002, 2003, at that point in time, credit to the private sector was falling still as a proportion to GDP. This is a very different situation right now where we're seeing a very important recovery in credit to the private sector in all of its components. And then finally, there is probably the boost that would be taking place through higher investment in infrastructure arising from the use of the resources stemming from the fiscal reform. With that, let me move on to the second part of your question. It is true that there has been some discussion about some recognition and special treatment of the maquiladora sector and of inventories, though that is something that we already were anticipating. And in that sense, it would not have major effects in terms of our estimations of what we expect to be getting from the fiscal reform. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Luis Arcentales.
Gerardo, just to add to Gray's question, what about the treatment of the inventories with to the retailers, the members of ANTAD? We've seen some comments as well of late, and especially in light of the estimation from the central bank of what the IETU can add to inflation in 2008. If you could just provide more color on that front, on how your discussions with retailers on how they the inventories are going to be treated and how this can translate into less inflationary pressures.
Sure, Luis. Basically, there was already initially a discussion about a recognition of inventories from previous year, which was a treatment. I mean, in some sense, as you know, we sort of established different transition mechanisms to recognize some of the past investments that firms had made, some of which had to do with fixed investment, some of which had to do with inventories. In that sense, we were already going to allow that firms were going to be discounting part of the inventories that they had, inventory accumulation that they had done in previous year, and we were going to do this in a gradual way every year going forward. allowing a discounting of inventories of about 5% each year going forward. This has moved slightly to recognizing 6% each year of past inventory accumulation, and in addition, there is going to be probably a recognition that the last inventories that retail stores and TAD, etc., make during the last months of this year are actually going to be also recognized from the point of view of the YETU. Now, obviously, this is going to allow firms to be able to actually sell the inventories that they currently have at sort of without having a major impact in terms of the prices at which they are able to sell these goods going forward.
Thanks a lot.
You have no further questions at this time.
Well, if there are no further questions, we could proceed to conclude the call. We would like to thank you all for participating, and we expect to meet again here in a conference call for next quarter.
You did have one more question come into queue.
Okay, let's go ahead with it.
That's from the line of Iker Kabides. Mr. Kabides?
Yes?
Your line is open.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good morning. Just two questions. Finally, I just want to see about your perceptions about the new year, possible new reforms or any sectors who can be restructured. How do you see these possibilities? Which sectors could be the first ones to attack, and possible effects about this? And another question, this new year, one of the YETU points of setting off capital investment, how is this going to happen, and what percentage is of the investment is going to be set off? Thank you.
Regarding the new reforms and potential new reforms that will be taking place going forward, the President has already mentioned that we are working, or the administration is working, on an important energy reform, which could potentially be sent to Congress at some point early next year. And in addition, there are other items, such as the possibility of having further opening in terms of the telecommunications sector, following a very aggressive, let's say, pro-competition policy in general going forward. And finally, some type of modifications in terms of labor markets that actually try to provide better relationships between workers and employers. Now, as to when and when exactly the reforms are going to be presented to Congress and in what order, we are not yet sure. We will have to finish working on them and then make a decision about which of the reforms will be going first to Congress and will be presented initially. Then regarding the deduction of investment in the YETU, basically all of the investment is immediate and complete, as it is completely deducted from the base of the tax.
Well, thank you very much.
There are no further questions.
Well, if there are no further questions, then we can conclude the call. Thank you again, everyone, for connecting to this conference call.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.